Good evening, Glenn. Today we're going to continue in chapter 13 of our textbook. If you remember, or I'm going to bring it back to your remembrance, we read a lot of scripture. We read Exodus 3, pretty much detailed. We went over Moses called by God by the burning bush. And then we read over in Numbers 12, the first challenge of his authority. And we never got a chance to get any points, any notes. So I'm going to go right into the notes today, but I want you to remember what we've read in Numbers 12 and Exodus 3. But I want to make these points because this is going to bring out the lesson. We're talking about primary credentials for delegated authority is revelation. Everybody say revelation. So revelation is... it's a revealed knowledge from God of his plans and will. And so we're going to find out that that's one of the main credentials that for authority, knowing God's revealed plans for his will for whatever he called you to do. Now, we're going to deal with Moses. Moses is going to be our example. But this first point we're going to talk about is no delegated authority given by God in the Old Testament was greater than that of Moses. Now, we know Jesus in the New Testament is the greatest authority of all. But in the Old Testament, Moses carried a special place in God's heart because Moses, he said, Moses is faithful in all my house, Glenn. That was God said. Moses is faithful in all my house. And so we're going to look at the authority of Moses in reference to his challenging of his authority. Now, we're going to focus mainly on how he reacted when his authority was transgressed, ridiculed, and opposed, and rejected. I'm going to say those words over again because your authority, if God puts you in a position of authority, going to be the same thing. You're going to experience the same thing. You're going to be transgressed. You're going to be ridiculed. Or you're not doing it the right way. You're going to be opposed. And you're going to be rejected. And all these things are going to transpire because people always learn, they just know the challenge of authority every chance they get. So remember, your authority is going to be transgressed. Your authority is going to be ridiculed. Your authority is going to be opposed. And it's also going to be rejected. Somebody's not going to like the way you're doing things. Now, here's some points I need to bring out. Now, these things gonna be talking mostly about Moses. Now, we're gonna talk about let's look at the latter part of his experience as a still connected to Pharaoh when he was challenged by one of his own people, one of the Israelites, one of the Hebrews. They challenged him because he was using his authority in the natural, in the flesh. Look what he said. And Moses didn't handle it good because he ran. They told him, he says, one of the Hebrews said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us?" Yeah. Who made you a prince and a judge over us? You see, they knew Moses, but they knew he didn't have position of authority over them in the natural, but yet they ridiculed him because he walked out of what they call his place. When I say his place, Moses was one of Pharaoh's. He represented Pharaoh. But nevertheless, Moses experienced a harsh treatment of his own people. He tried to reveal himself to his own people and received some harsh treatment. You see it? Though he was quick to reprimand and even brave to kill, within he was weak and empty. He could not stand under testing. And that was one of his testing in the natural. When I say the natural, I'm talking about outside of God making him an authority. Outside of God's will for authority. When he was tried, he grew afraid, and he fled to the wilderness of Midian. For 40 years, he had to learn some lessons. My goodness. 40 years with his father-in-law Jethro, caring for the sheep in the wilderness of Midian. Had a wife, had children. A wife and children will help you learn how to be an authority. Caring for sheep and having a father-in-law over you, telling you what to do to the sheep and how to handle the sheep. See, all this was new to Moses. Moses come from Pharaoh. Moses wasn't a servant. Moses was used to being served, class. So God had to take him from one aspect of a culture to another aspect of culture, something totally new to him, and he had to be submitted to his father-in-law. He even had to submit himself to his wife, who had to taught him the way of the Midianite. Might sound simple to us, but you can find out that Moses went through a lot of changes and a lot of challenges. The Bible don't record them all, but if you just think about where he came from prior, his relationship with Pharaoh, and where he went to, such a low demeaning. See, sheep herders were looked down upon, you know, because sheep was smelly, and sheep, it was like almost a degrading way of life. But nevertheless, that's why David was so ridiculed. We don't feel sheep. The few sheep, they told me, brothers, they envied him. You better go back and take care of those few sheep that my father left with. But David, I'm not talking about David, but David learned something with sheep. Something about sheep. Sheep got to be shepherd. Sheep has to be cared for like people. And God knew what it take to get a love. You might not like a sheep at the beginning. You might not find nothing about them to like. Some people might not find nothing about to like at the beginning. But when God pours love in you for something, when God pours love in you for a work, they become your own. The sheep became Moses' own. Moses loved the sheep more than anything in the world at the time before he left. He had compassion for those sheep and the love for those sheep. Sheep became his family. Sheep became a way of life for him. And see, the Bible don't tell all about everything, but you just got to understand where Moses came from, where God put him. Now, in number 12, we find out that his brother Aaron and sister Miriam spoke against him and rejected his delegated authority. They rejected his authority just like the Hebrew brothers doing slavery when Moses checked them. Who appointed you to be a ruler over us? Now, one of the key qualifications of a delegated authority, we're talking about how to be a delegated authority, is do not or never listen to slanderous words. They questioned Moses. Do you alone speak for God? You who have married a Cushite or Ethiopian woman? Has not God spoken through us also? How can a seed of Shem be married to a seed of Ham, continue in God's ministry? Can we not minister, we who are children of Shem, and not married to children of Ham? They're trying to find scriptures order to blame Moses for what he was doing, but God overruled your little theology. They were functioning theology. And God don't deal with theology. God deal with revelation. Of all the Bible simply record, of all this the Bible simply record, and Jehovah heard it in the conversation with Miriam and her brother, Aaron, challenging Moses' position of authority. But it seemed like the book, the writer said, Moses never heard it. Moses didn't want to listen to this slander. He had been trained by God not to listen to slander. Hence, we find a man who could not be touched by men's word, for he was beyond reach of slanderous word. Now, class, I don't know what all God taught him in Midian, but these have to be some of the qualifications that God put in him. How God did it, I don't know. How God prepare you for ministry, I don't know what specifically he used. Because God knows every person individually. And every individual person has to have different and individual training. One training might not be for everybody. But through revelation, we might speak one word. You might hear something different that you need. Another student might hear something different that they need. Another student might hear different that they need, but I say the same thing. Because your spirit know what you need to hear. And your spirit know how to draw off of, God designed our spirit to draw off of revelation. And when you draw off of revelation, God can make sure you hear what you need to hear. So class, make sure you hear what you need to hear. Do not pay any attention to how people criticize you. Do not get angry because of others' words. Now, these might sound like some small commandments, but in time, these things going to be proven in your life. Because you have opportunity to be criticized, and you have, and then you have opportunity to get angry, and you have opportunity to have to deal with some wrong, hard words. But know who called you. Those who are disturbed and overwhelmed by words of slander prove themselves unfit to be a delegated authority. You hear that? So you have to get to a place where you hear these criticism, you hear harsh words, but you have to get to the place, class, where these words roll over you like water on a duck back. What does that mean? You can't allow those words to touch you. You have to position yourself to know that the only thing matter is what God said. Remember I said that. Vindication or defense or whatever reaction there may be should come from God and not from man. I'm going to read that again. Vindication or defense, or whatever reaction there may be, should come from God and not from man. Well, here's what Moses did. When Moses was criticized, when Moses was challenged by Aaron and Miriam, Moses stayed quiet and he permitted God to speak. The writer said, Brother Nee said, it was like Moses never even heard these words. Moses just held his peace. He knew that if God called him, God's going to be the defense. I remember years ago, Pastor always told us, he said, never defend me nor the ministry. He said, God is the defense. And then as I learned later, that whenever, and we're going to talk about it for a minute or so, that whenever you answer your critics, you fall under their authority. They become your authority. Never answer your critics. Why? Because never defend yourself. Let God always be your defense. Remember I said that. Let God always be your defense. No one on earth could ever be more authoritative than Christ, yet he never defended himself. Now, we know when he was before Pilate, and went before the Sanhedrin council, and he was criticized and he was challenged and he was accused. But the Bible says he never said a word. Who had more authority than Jesus on this earth? Never said a word. Made no self-defense for himself. No self-defense. The one against whom you defend yourself, here it is, Claire, becomes your judge. He rises higher than you when you begin to answer his criticism. He rises higher than you. And he becomes your Lord. And now you become submitted to him. But when you hold your peace, God becomes your defense. And God becomes the judge. And they have to answer against God. So just hold your peace when you're challenged or ridiculed or slander brought about you. Don't be your own defense. Let God be your defense. He who speaks of himself is under judgment. Therefore, he is without authority. It strips your authority from you. When one tries to justify himself, he loses authority. My goodness. These are powerful words. These are things you need to tuck in your heart. Like Apostle said, tuck in your spirit. Tuck these things in your spirit because you're gonna have opportunity to use them. I'm gonna read this again. Whenever one tries to justify himself, he loses authority. Don't try to explain because you explain, you're gonna explain yourself right away. No, it's not about egotism. You see it? It's about revelation. Everybody's not going to understand you as a Christian. Everybody's not going to understand what God has told you to do. So don't try to prove what God told you to do and prove to him that God told you to do it. No, you owe no man nothing but to love him. Now, these are just good sound advice given by Brother Neil. Paul stood before the Corinthian believers as a delegated authority. Yet he said, I judge not my own self, 1 Corinthians 4 and 3. He said, I judge not my own self. What are you saying? God is my judge. Saying you're not going to be my judge. Vindication comes from God. The moment you justify yourself before a person, he becomes your judge. I say that more than one time in more than one way. As soon as you try to explain, you are fallen before him. Isn't that something? Don't try to explain. Don't try to justify. Don't try to answer your critic. Don't try to answer your critic. Please don't try to answer your critic. These are sound words we're speaking in. And here's another qualification of Moses. And this will develop in those 40 years experience that God put him through. 40 years experience. 40 years of training. 40 years of studying behind God and studying behind Jethro and studying behind the Midianites. Sure, everything might not seem like it was classroom stuff, but you'd be surprised that the world becomes your classroom. You see, your surroundings become your classroom. Your home becomes your classroom. Why? It teaches you a thing. If you handle it right, your job becomes the classroom. Why? Because you experience so many different things. And you handle, see, people don't handle rejection right. On the job, in the home, between husband and wife. If we handle these things right, it'll become the classroom that teaches us humility, teaches us meekness, gives us our inner strength, gives us the wisdom we need, and we'll be able to depend on God as our judge. Sometimes we just talk too much. Sometimes just be quiet. If the Lord don't tell you to say nothing, sometimes just be quiet. A man of few words is a wise man, but a fool speaks up all the time. He always got an answer. A fool always got an answer. And he's going to be judged by his words, too. He'll be judged by his words. Now watch this now. Why? Verse 2 of Numbers 12 recalled that God heard the slanderous words and that God took action. God heard the word, but God also took action. God was Moses' defense. We're talking about numbers two and between number two and three. But between comes verse three. We're talking about numbers two and four. Verse three, as with that parenthesis stated, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. God used that third scripture expository as an expository to explain what happened between verse 2 and verse 4. God had these men pin this to give an explanation, to explain exactly why God was able to step in. And see, some people don't permit God to step in. They speak before God get a chance to speak because they try to defend themselves. But because Moses didn't say anything and his training came up, and God permitted this third verse to reveal why he was able to step in. God can't step in for some of us. God wants to step in and defend us, but we've already tried to defend ourselves and fall before our critics. And we've fallen, and they become our judge and our master because we spoke ahead of time. Didn't give God a chance to intervene and say what he needed to say. Are you with me, Clap? Now, look at this verse 4. Now, the man Moses was very meek, he said. Didn't say he was very weak. He was very meek. Meekness is, one man said, boldness under harness. Controlled boldness. That's a good word for me. I heard that somewhere down the line in my training. He was meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. You see it? Now, Moses did not strive. Moses did not strive. What strive mean? I looked up the word strive, S-T-R-I-V-E. Strive means to strain, to exert much effort. Moses did not try to exert his own effort. You see, he didn't strive. But he realized he had Aaron. God cannot appoint a stiff-necked person to authority. He will not delegate authority to an arrogant person. In other words, a person who tries to strive, vindicate themselves, use their own energy to and effort to defend themselves, their error. And a stiff-necked person is a person who is pridefully stubborn because you can't put that person in authority, God can't trust that person to be authority because he's going to be arrogant and always think he's in authority and not God himself, always trying to defend. Now, what Moses' quality was that he operated under the meekness of God. There's a meekness of God. Meekness that have passed through the cross. You heard that? That's a worldly meekness, a worldly humility, but that's the meekness of God. A meekness that has passed through the cross. What do you mean passed through the cross? The cross represents death. The cross represents crucifying the flesh. The cross represents a dying. And then, but that's also, it not only passed through the cross, but experienced resurrection. Resurrection, when God make everything brand new in his own image. You see it? So a meekness that has passed through the cross and to resurrection. A meekness that God favored. You see it? A meekness that make you just like God. My goodness. What did I say? A meekness that make you the image of God. It puts us in his image. Are you with me? God can deal with a meek person. You see, Jesus said, blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. The more we try, the less we are fit for authority. It is not the voice or the strong, not the violent or the strong, but a man like Paul, whose bodily presence is weak and whose speech of no account, whom God will establish as authority. That's the kind of person God wants. Not a man outwardly strong, not a man with fancy words, with arrogant, well, not arrogant, with elegant speaking. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, in my speech, in my preaching, apostle, he preaches that all the time. In my speech, in my preaching. See that's the form when a person has died. It's not with enticing words, eloquent words of man's wisdom. See that's the flesh that God tried to get rid of. God probably got but God, in those 40 years that Moses was with his father Jethro, God had to get the natural wisdom out of him. The natural arrogance. I'm sure Moses was arrogant. Moses had to be arrogant. Why? Because he lived in a prestigious place. Nothing was impossible for him to have. As Pharaoh, one of Pharaoh's, under Pharaoh's government, the woman stepped in there to be his mother. Nothing was too good for Moses. Moses was filled with all the fineness of Egypt. Had the opportunity to be arrogant. Moses was rich. You see it? In the natural. But he didn't have the wisdom of God that really made you rich. So I'm trying to tell you some of the things God delivered Moses from over the 40 years that not even spoken of a whole lot. But you can understand some of the things he had to be delivered from. Some of the things that God, maybe there's some arrogance in you that God needs to get out of you. Maybe there's some pride in you that God has given. Sometimes people have what they call a false humility. You see, that's the humility that it looks like the real thing, but when tested, it fails because it's false humility. You see, you're humble on the outside, but you're not humble at heart and meek on the inside. And God sees that. Authority attained through fighting is not what is given by God. People usually assume such things as the following to be the necessary requirements for authority. I'm going to read that again. People usually assume that such things as the following, which I'm about to talk about, to be the necessary requirements for authority. Splendor, magnificence, strength, all that other stuff, strength of personality, barren of appearance, and power. See, the natural has a lot of that. Moses had all that before he went to behind the mountain. Moses had splendor. See, Moses talked, but he couldn't talk. But Moses was raised up under Pharaoh. Moses was a very intelligent person in the natural. But when he got before God, he became dumb. When I say dumb, he became like Paul. I know nothing but Christ crucified. He realized, and he humbled himself, that what I know is dumb. Paul said it's dumb. It's waste. Paul said, what I know in the natural don't amount to anything. The only thing matter is Christ crucified. That's the only knowledge I want. Christ and Christ crucified. So, here's some of the qualifications Moses had that he had to die from. Splendor, Moses lived in splendor. Moses lived in magnificent, the temple, all the beauty, the chariots. Moses rode in the best of the chariots. If there was such thing as Rolls Royce back then, Moses rode in the Rolls Royce of chariots. There was nothing withheld from him. So Moses had all those things going for him, but yet he was weak on the inside. God had to turn him over from turn him inside out. God had to do a big work for Moses. You see, now how much work God got to do for you? enough of Moses. Let's talk about us. What in me that God just got to, that stinks to God natural? That's going to determine your authority. That's going to determine whether God used it to its full extent. That's going to determine whether you're walking in meekness, you see, or your own strength, or your own arrogance, or your own power, or your own might. You see it? And these are things that Moses had to deal with. Splendor, magnificence, strength, strength of personality, bearing or appearance, and power. You see it? All these things are good in his own place, but they got to be passed through the cross. All these things got to die, and all these things had to be resurrected. And God put it in under his anointing. You see it? God got to pass these things through his anointing. Now, to be an authority, they reason, one must possess a strong determination, clever idea, eloquent lips. But it's not these things that represent authority. Instead, they stand for the flesh. You see it? Now, Claire, these are opposites of what God wants. Opposite. Possessing strong determination. It's good to have a strong determination in natural. Yeah, but that you can't depend on, you see? Moses couldn't depend on his strong determination. He was determined to help his Hebrew brother. Yes, he was determined, but that didn't work. It backfired on him. You see it? He tried to get peace. He tried to bring peace between the two brothers. You see it? But that didn't help. It backfired on him because they saw something else. That was without the anointing, without man's wisdom, without God's wisdom and functioning man's wisdom. Moses thought he was smart. And I'm going to go help them. I'm going to get them to see. I'm going to get them to see that brothers ain't supposed to fight against one another. Man, you're one nation, man. You got to stick together. No, but they couldn't see that. No one in the Old Testament exceeded Moses as a God-established authority. Yet the cross was the meekness of all men. And that's what Moses had to go through. Yeah. Yeah. That wilderness of Midian became the cross for Moses. The backside of the mountain for 40 years became the cross for Moses. Moses had to die to himself, and Moses had to become a new man. And when God saw he was resurrected, when he went to see why the bush wasn't burned, even though it was on fire, it didn't make sense. He went to see this great thing. And God knew that they were going to capture Moses' attention. And God saw it. And God said, oh, resurrection time. It's time for his resurrection. And so God dealt with Moses from a resurrection standpoint. While he was in Egypt, he was quite fierce, both in killing the Egyptian and in reprimanding the Hebrew. He dealt with people by his own fleshly hand. So at that time, God did not appoint him. God could not appoint him as an authority. It was only after he had passed through many trials and been dealt with by God, only after he had become very meek, more than all the men on the earth, that God used him to be an authority. He had to pass through the cross and experience resurrection. Class, I hope you see what we're saying. I'm telling you, you got to pass through the cross and experience resurrection before God can really use you as authority. Yeah, that's self-appointed authority. Yes, even the church, that's self-appointed authority. But they won't stand under the test. They won't stand under the test until they pass through the cross and experience resurrection. Yeah, you might be an authority, but it won't last long. You might be an authority, but the rug gonna get pulled from under you. You're gonna be exposed. You have to pass through the cross. You have to pass through the resurrection. You see it? You cannot depend upon your own flesh, your own clever idea, your own wisdom. You can't scheme to try to get ahead. You can't get around ministry and try to use it for a stepping stone. Some people join this church to try to jumpstart their ministry and try to use apostle name. And that's men's wisdom. They haven't died. They haven't spirit resurrection. They haven't passed through the cross. They try to get a certain momentum in the ministry. If I talk to this certain person, if I get connected with this person, I can. No, that's not authority. That crafty wickedness, trying to use itself to establish their own authority in the kingdom. God rejects such things. God rejects such things. No, you can't make yourself an authority. God has to do it. God has to do it. Revelation is the one credential for authority. The one credential for authority. And class, you have to know this. You have to know this. And Jehovah spake sullenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam. Come out, you three, unto the tent of the meeting. And sullenly means they wasn't even expecting it. They came out, and God appeared before them. And the three came out, and God met them. God met them. God met them. It is very easy and convenient to criticize at home. Or even so, everything will be cleared up. Even so, if you criticize at home, even so, everything will be cleared up in the tent of the meeting. What does that mean? What does that mean, class? In other words, he's saying, I got to interpret what he says sometimes. What he's saying is that sometimes people can criticize. They think God ain't listening in the privacy of their home, outside the tent. They think outside the tent means outside of God's presence. But God's always present. I don't care if you say it in the closet. I don't care if you get a soundproof room with 12-inch walls fully insulated, pure iron, and all the best insulation you can get. God's still going to hear it. Why? Because God's everywhere. And not only that, but God's going to take it to the tent. What do you mean take it to the tent? God's presence always is everywhere. At the same time, you might not experience it, you might not sense it, but God's presence everywhere. God will surely bring you to the tent of the meeting. What that mean? God surely bring you to where what you say is going to be judged. Mind me now, be it a long time or be it short, God's going to judge authority. Unless you cut his judgment off by repentance. Oh, people don't know how important those words I just said. As the three came to the tent of the meeting, the Lord spoke to Aaron and Miriam. Hear now my words. In the past, they had murmured, had Jehovah indeed spoken only by Moses? Now the Lord asked them to come and hear his word, revealing that they never had heard his voice before. They never heard his word, and Aaron and Miriam had never known what God was saying. This was the first time the Lord had spoken to them. And God, you see, Miriam was a prophet. And sometimes Aaron was used as a prophet. But here we're about to see that God never spoke to them like he spoke to Moses. God said, I speak to a prophet in dreams and vision, but my servant Moses is on a different level. He said, him do I speak mouth to mouth, face to face. So Miriam and Aaron, they got dreams and vision, but they never heard a word from God before, like they heard at the tent of the meeting when God judged them. So sad to say, the word they heard from God had to become a judgment instead of a blessing. Class, as far as I can go today, and we're going to take up this when we come back next week. You've been a good class. I'll see you later.